Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll return to the money trail now with personal finance guru Jane Bryant Quinn, who will tell you how to avoid the bailed out big banks if you want to and use community or internet banks. She says internet banks, by the way, offer the best deals now on both checking and savings accounts. But let's set up Jane Bryant Quinn with a short clip from a video on the Huffington Post. They are urging people to take our money out of the too-big-to-fail institutions and move it to community banks. They're using this mashup that they made of Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life and voices from today's banking crisis. The first voice is ABC News anchor Charles Gibson.
Millions and millions of dollars paid out in bonuses by the insurance giant AIG.
The 20 largest bailed out banks received $283 billion in taxpayer money. And the executives running those 20 troubled banks still received enormous paychecks.
Yeah, but we've got to find that money. Uncle Billy, look, do you realize what's going to happen if we don't find it?
Banks are hoarding the money.
It's like taking the American people's hard-earned tax dollars and slapping them in the face with it.
Where's that money? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
It's not going to be anybody. I don't know they're holding anybody accountable in a legal sense for all of that, but you heard ABC's Charles Gibson, Jimmy Stewart, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Congressman Elijah Cummings, and Jimmy Stewart in that Huffington Post video. With me now, personal finance guru Jane Bryant Quinn. Her new 1,200-page personal finance guide is her own classic, revised for the new economy, called Making the Most of Your Money Now. Hi, Jane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
1,200 pages. This is the Encyclopedia Britannica of personal finance. I could barely carry it home last night without becoming a hunchback.
That's exactly what it is meant to be, although if you have two of them, you can exercise with them.
The idea
is to have everything in one place so that when you have any kind of question about personal finance, you can find it and look it up and get some answers.
Either that or you need to release a version for Kindle. Anyway,
There is a Kindle version, by the way.
You have a great little section comparing big banks, community banks, internet banks, and credit unions. So if someone wants to take the Huffington Post campaign to heart and avoid the too-big-to-fail TARP banks altogether, maybe as a political statement, can we do it? Is it easy to do?
It is easy to do. If you go onto a search engine and you type in community banks, New York City, or local banks, New York City, you will get a whole list of local banks that are here that are small banks, and you can switch your money from the big banks into the small banks without any difficulty at all. The only problem is that you do your online banking, as I do, you're going to have to switch all of your payments. You pay the florist or you pay somebody online, you're going to have to type them into the new bank.
The new bank. And we'll make that distinction in a minute between banking at an institution with walls and online banking. But simply from a personal finance standpoint, are there advantages and disadvantages to using community banks as opposed to national chain banks for our checking or savings accounts?
Usually, community banks, local banks, will have fewer fees. They may have slightly higher interest rates on savings, especially credit unions. They know you. They pay more attention to you. You're a real customer. You can call up and get actually a person on the line. And so I am currently in a large bank, but I started in a small one which got bought by a large one. And I put on my website a little piece called Fire Your Banks. I mean, I agree totally with Huffington Post. And I am now in the market looking for a smaller bank in this area. There are associations of community banks that you can, Google, and you can find lists of the banks. So
that's interesting
that you're
looking for one now. And with your expertise, what do you look for when trying to choose a community bank?
I am looking for one that has lower fees. I'm looking for one that, if possible, is convenient to my apartment, which is nice. I'd like to have a local ATM if I could.
Right.
One of the downsides of having a community bank is that there are not ATMs on every street corner the way there are with the big banks. So you have
wind
to
up
think more.
Getting a lot of fees charged if you use those ATMs from other
the
banks.
The community banks usually don't charge you a fee on their side, mm-hmm. but the other banks do. But, you know, people are carrying less and less cash. I mean, I pay for taxi fares and Metro cards with my credit card now. It's amazing how little cash I use in a week.
And they're safe. I mean, ironically, it's been the community banks that have had a failure rate in the last year, dozens of them around the country, while the biggest institutions were bailed out by Washington. So do you consider that a risk or a cause for concern with using community banks?
Zero. As long as you've got federal deposit insurance, you are going to be fine. And the credit unions have their own version of federal deposit insurance.
Just look for that member FDIC.
You bet.
And the biggest news in that section of your book is really about internet banks like ING Direct, Emigrant Direct, EverBank, and there are many others. Should people be put off or frightened by the idea of putting our money in a bank with no walls, with no actual bank building anywhere?
Ask yourself, when was the last time you walked into a bank with walls and sat down in front of someone? Even if you're working with a big bank, you're probably maybe mailing in your checks. You have direct deposit. You speak to people over the phone, if you can get anybody on the phone at the big banks. So I have no concern about it at all. Again, these banks are covered by federal deposit insurance, just the way a bricks and mortar bank is.
And the big selling point, as you write it, is that they're offering better rates savings, on checkings, on CDs, all
you
three?
You bet. The only hitch, again, I think that the internet banks are particularly good for savers. The checking accounts are still a little different from the kinds of checking accounts you're used to at a regular bank. But for saving money, you just put them into their CDs or their money market accounts. It couldn't be easier, and you can set up a transfer. So it will, if you have a checking account at another bank, you can very easily transfer the money from the internet bank savings over to your bank, regular bank, for checking.
And managing a checking account at an online bank, I guess if you need to deposit anything physical, you have to mail it in.
Well, I don't know. That's what I do with my big bank right now. I mean, isn't this what most people do?
Yeah, or they go to their ATM, which you can do in an instant.
I mean, it is surprising how little use these days is made of an actual sit down at the chair and speak to somebody bank.
We can take a few questions on internet banks, community banks, credit unions, for Jane Bryan Quinn, personal finance guru. Her book, Making the Most of Your Money Now, just out in a revised edition. And let's take a phone call, 212-433-WNYC. Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Amy.
I use a credit union. I was hoping to get your comments on that. The one I use does have an agreement with I'm not sure the exact organization, but it allows me to use the ATMs at McDonald's all over the city and the area with no fee.
With no fee on either side? So the credit union doesn't charge you a fee, but the owner of the ATM at McDonald's doesn't charge you a fee either?
No, it's some kind of Actors Federal Credit Union.
That's
which is
perfect.
Not the one I'm at,
mm-hmm.
but...
That's the one you heard of.
Well, that's terrific, because we talk about you can certainly find McDonald's on practically every corner. So, that's a very good point, Amy, because that's something that when you go and look for these credit unions and these community banks, they realize that that's a weakness, and so they are trying to look for deals like this.
What's a credit union?
A credit union is typically an organization of people that are connected to one another in some way or another. It started out as they're sort of nonprofit. They're all share owners. They call them shares rather than deposits because they all collectively own this credit union. Started out mainly in companies and farm areas. It has expanded, so many credit unions cover whole cities, some cover whole states. And in my book, and you have it in your hand, I don't have it in mine, there is one credit union, PenFed, I think it's PenFed, that will accept anybody anywhere in the country. You pay a small membership fee, so actually anyone can join a credit union because of this PenFed.
Janet in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Jane Bryan Quinn. Hi, Janet.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, I was with ING Direct in the past, and I got off of it because they don't allow beneficiaries, but in my community bank, I can put beneficiaries, so that really I just liked that and I got out of it. And also with the banks, do you think that the community banks will become too big for their bridges and start changing their policies because they'll get so many customers? Thank you.
But thank you. I didn't know about the ING beneficiary, so that is good to know, a good question to add. So you've really added to this discussion. I thank you. On the community banks, what will happen to them is they will be bought by bigger banks because people start small banks and the people who start them, frankly, want to become bigger banks. They want to be really good and then they want to sell out to a larger bank. This may take years, but my experience was I've been in two smaller banks and gradually they were bought by bigger and bigger banks. So that'll probably happen. But I say, you know, take the community banks while you've got them.
And Kathleen in Kensington says you don't even have to mail in your checks to online banks, right, Kathleen?
Yeah, actually, I have been banking with First Internet Bank of Indiana for quite a number of years, even though I'm here in Brooklyn. And they started a new software thing. I just scan in the front and back of my checks and post them through the iScan thing, and I can deposit them that day, which is really convenient.
That's a good one.
They reimburse me for ATM fees.
Excellent. I mean,
that's a big one. Some community banks do. In fact, we have a question on our website from Lance from Miami. Is it as easy to make ATM withdrawals from a community? Oh, that's about community banks. So let me stay with the internet. If you don't have an ATM connected to a bank because it's an internet bank, I understand from your book that some of them have reciprocal deals so you don't actually have to pay a fee?
Yeah, they have either reciprocal deals or you can transfer. It may take a couple of days sometimes, but they're cutting that down. You can transfer the money to your regular checking account and then take it out at another bank and then just take it out automatically from that other bank. So many people who are saving on online banks have checking accounts still at their original banks and they switch the money from one to the other.
And also you point out in the book that as a marketing tool, because the internet banks realize that they've got no ATMs of their own, you say they all reimburse you for at least $6 in ATM charges every month and sometimes more. Jane Bryan Quinn, my guest on WNYC. While you're here, I want to follow up on something that came up on the show earlier this week. We did a segment on the temporary death of the estate tax, which expired on New Year's Day but is scheduled to return next year. And that only affects people with estates of more than $3.5 million. But an astute listener pointed out that we failed to mention a couple of relevant things. And one of them is that for the first time this year, an estate tax kicks in for people with smaller estates. Do you know about that?
I sure do know about that. All the publicity has been on the death of the estate tax, which people, you know, the conservatives who wanted to get rid of it very cleverly renamed it the death tax so that everybody thinks as soon as I die, I have to pay a tax, and so let's get rid of it. In fact, it is only for the very rich. But what they did, because they had to make up the money somewhere. This estate tax is a vast amount of money that's lost to the federal government. The cost of it is at least 50% more than the cost of this health insurance plan that people say is too expensive. So the estate tax is a huge loss of revenue if it is permanently abolished. But what they did to make it look better on their 10-year projections, they have introduced a new kind of estate tax, which says if you inherit something that has gained in value, you are going to have to pay tax on the entire gain of value from the time it was first bought by the person who left it to you until the day you inherit. Now, I mean, right, the old law was if a stock was at $10 and I inherited it at $100, I got it at a value of $100, that whole capital gain of the past, no tax, all passes. The new law says, hey, wait a minute, I inherited at $100, but I have to go back now and pay a tax on everything, on the $90 of capital gain that happened in the past. And this is going to be lots and lots of people. So they have shifted a tax to more people. There are many more estates that are going to have to pay this tax.
Does that mean that they'll have to go back and look at every deposit that their parents made to their IRAs over 40, 50 years and figure out how much it valued?
Absolutely. And what about if you're past a book collection or a stamp collection or valuable jewelry? How do you know
and
how much
And does that only
paid
kick
in
at a $3.5 million
they have
estate?
They have an exception of, I think it's $1.3 million, and there's something else. Actually, I brought a paper here so I could remember it. The new law is $3 million in gains can pass to a spouse tax-free, and $1.3 million in gains can be left to other heirs. So it still isn't the smaller estates, but the number of estates that are going to have to pay this is maybe 73,000 compared with maybe only 5,000 that would have paid the old tax. So they're hitting many more people with this new tax that no one knows about at the
and
moment.
Our astute listener suggested that the expiration or these changes in the federal estate tax might be bad for charities and other nonprofit institutions. Does that sound right to you?
The charities are very much afraid that the so-called generosity of people is at least partly driven by their ability to get a big tax deduction. There are a lot of people who are just plain generous and will give it even without an estate tax deduction, but they do believe that they will have fewer bequests if there's not an estate tax deduction. Most of the people covering this think that the Congress will eventually go back and restore the old thing, have the old estate tax back in some form, and get rid of this one that we're just talking about that taxes the increase in value.
But you're saying that people might give money to charity rather than to their kids just to get an after-death tax break.
That is what some people do, and they have various kind of trusts that do it. Most people who give large amounts of money, believe me, they have enough for their kids and their charities.
And our listener also noted that there are state estate taxes, which would still be in effect. Do you happen to know what they are for New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
I don't happen to know what they are. When some of these are linked to the federal tax, so if the federal tax goes, the state tax goes too, others are set up separately. So I don't know that, but it's, again, don't you love search engines? Just enter
it in
a search engine and look it up.
Let's take one more testimonial for community banks before we run out of time. Miriam is calling from Manhattan. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
I had a great experience. I'm a shell-shocked victim of Bernard Madoff. But I'm not as shell-shocked as I was. 2 days ago, I marched, life has come full circle, I marched into the Amalgamated Bank of New York, which is one of the oldest union banks in New York, where my parents started out, and happily gave them the tattered shreds of what I have left and felt very, very good about doing it. I had been banking with J.P. Morgan Chase. There's some talk, whether it's true or not, of complicity in the Madoff affair. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But you're
happy to be in a community bank.
In an Amalgamated Bank, yeah.
Miriam, I have to leave it there because we're out of time. Jane, a last word in 15
the
seconds.
The last word, by the way, is that my son and his wife bank at Amalgamated. So Amalgamated should do something here for us. But community banks, I'm looking for one. Amalgamated is on my list, and I've made notes of all the other ones of the readers, the names of the ones of the reader, our right. listeners who've called
Amalgamated.
In.
Amalgamated, endorsed by relatives of Jane Bryant Quinn, whose new book is Making the Most of Your Money Now, Revised for the New Economy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.